there's power in that name. Through the name of Jesus, old Brother Eddie got adopted into the family of God. Through the name Jesus, praise God, I got forgiven of my sins. And through the blood of Jesus, I got redeemed from sin. Mm-hmm. I got born again. Praise God, I got everything I need. He's my all in all. I got a good shepherd watches over me. Praise God, I got a King of Kings that's above all, that's protecting me under His arm and under His shield. I'm safe as safe can be. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about this pandemic on the way over here this morning. And it's not necessarily the pandemic that's so bad. It's the fear of the pandemic that's really taking its toll on a lot of people. And you know, you got to be careful when it comes to fear. We preached last Sunday about troubled hearts. Well, a lot of people respond to that message because there is a lot of troubled hearts out there. And our Savior, our Chief Shepherd, He wasn't kidding when He said, "Let not your heart be troubled."
Right.
You know, me and Brother Donnie, we got a friend, a good friend. His father went in the room, shut the door, and took his life Thursday night. He was 80 years old. And you know, you think that close to the finish line, you could finish out. But he took his life. His son called me and told me his dad had took his life. And they was going to have the funeral today. Me and Donnie was going to go up there to the service, but they're going to do an autopsy on him. And now they don't know when the funeral will be. It'll be delayed now. But that fear, it's taking its toll on people. That fear is affecting a lot of people. And a lot of people are doing a lot of things they wouldn't do if they wasn't in such fear of the hour we're living in. And the Lord, He didn't go around promoting fear. He went around promoting peace.
That's right. That's
and thank right. God for the peace of God. And I'm glad I've got that peace. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be, our Sunday school lesson this morning is in Daniel chapter 3. We stopped at verse number 18. We'll go to God in prayer and we'll pick up here at verse 19. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day.
Yeah,
Lord, You've given us to gather in Your house. And Lord, we have no greater desire today, Lord, than to be a blessing. I pray, Father God, Lord, You'd help us to teach Your words with authority, with anointing. Lord, I just want to deliver them as they are indeed the Word of God. Lord, if they were the words of men, I wouldn't have no second thoughts at all about my teaching today. But Lord, since they're the Word of God, I ask for Your help.
Yes, Father.
I ask, Lord God, You'd open our eyes today.
Strengthen us, Lord.
Open our ears today and our hearts today, Lord. We may sup with You today and You with us. We may feast, Lord, at the table of God today. Bless the teaching of Your word.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
This chapter here kind of goes along with the hour we're living in. You've got everything going good until this king, Nebuchadnezzar, like I said, he was a king of kings, little g, little k, I mean. And you know, he made this image, and when he made this image, he was usurping authority like a lot of people are doing today. He was in a position of authority, and he abused that authority, and he made a decree that whoever wouldn't worship his image, well, they'd be thrown into the fiery furnace, which we're going to be teaching about today. And everyone bowed at this image except three Hebrew boys. Well, actually there was four. It doesn't mention Daniel, but he wouldn't have bowed to this image neither. There was a total of four Hebrew boys. During this time, when Nebuchadnezzar had besieged Jerusalem and took captives of those that he wanted, and he handpicked these four, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and he threatened these three that wouldn't bow. And he said in verse 15, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Now listen, when you're standing for God, And when you're being threatened for standing for God, I'll tell you this, God will stand with you.
Amen.
Now, if you want some good ground to stand on the ground that God owns. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to stand, having done all, it tells us to stand therewith. It don't tell us to run, it don't tell us to bow, it says stand, and having done all, to stand. I read a lot of things on the news, I don't care for much of it, but one thing caught my eye this week was there was a farm, and they didn't want to allow this same sex union marriage on their farm. Hey, if that was their farm, my opinion, they ought to have the right to say no.
Right.
They ought to have the right, kind of like stores that say no shirt, no shoes, no service.
Right.
I mean, you can tell that some people have the right to deny you service. And I think we're going to have to remove the next statue, the Statue of Liberty, because I believe a lot of the liberties of this free country are being consumed right now with political correctness. But anyway, this young man and his wife, they had allowed a lot of marriages to be conducted on their farm just because of beautiful scenery and everything. And of course, this wasn't by accident. They were hand-picked.
Mm-hmm.
And this same-sex couple came and demanded that they let them have their marriage on their farm property. And they said, no, we're not going to allow it because we don't condone that. And they were punished, and their punishment was that they weren't allowed to take the goods from their farm into the city to sell it with the farm produce that they've been selling all along for income. And you can kind of see the hour we're living in.
That's right.
It's just like this hour that these Hebrew boys was in. They were doing nothing wrong. They were being commanded to bow. They refused to bow. They were threatened because they refused to bow. And Nebuchadnezzar, which he's king, he said, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I'm glad I know that God.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad I know that one. And they went on to say, we're not careful to answer you. Man, they were kind of bold for a little Hebrew boys talking to a king. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. They said, if it be so, they're putting it in God's hands. They said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. You know, we're threatened even today, just like these Hebrew boys were. And the threat is, you do what we say or else. And a lot of censorship going on today, a lot of things like that. But they went on to say, our God whom we serve. And I thank God for a God like this. Amen. Not stone, not wood. Not the work of men's hands, but the living God. They said, our God whom we serve, verse 17, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. Now, that's faith.
That's right.
But if they hadn't proved this, they standing on faith. I'll tell you what, that's a good ground to stand on.
Amen.
They said, we know He's able.
Mm-hmm.
We know He can. But whether He does, verse 18, He said, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now that's pretty blunt. King don't like it. Verse 19, our first verse of our lesson this morning. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Boy, it makes the world mad.
Yeah.
When you oppose what they tell you to do. It's like, you know, you can't think out of the box no more. It's like common sense don't exist no more. You either go the way of the trend or the way of the world, or you get consumed in verbal prosecution, or death threats, or censorship. So then was Nebuchadnezzar, and he's got the power, full of fury, and the form of his vestige, in other words, his countenance was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. In other words, he said, I want these boys to understand just how powerful I am. I want them to understand that I'm not a pushover. I want them to understand that they're in my hands now, and he's putting everything he can into this threat and in this commandment that he's issuing against these three Hebrew boys. Verse 20, oh, by the way, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against us can prosper. I'm fireproof. If you could throw me in hell, I'd be like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You know, while they're walking around in that fire, they try to stay warm. It's freezing to death. But anyway, you know, we have not only the shield of God, not only do we have the help of God, but we've got God for our defense. He's our advocate. He's our, you know, our high priest. He's our everything that we need in this life. And even with this threat, and even with this commandment, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now,
Brother Andy, Nebuchadnezzar is about to find out who's really in charge, and it's not him.
You know what? With what you said there, Sister Bonnie, not only is it true, but I like his reaction.
Right.
He actually admitted that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. Now, we got people today, they just won't accept denial. They won't accept anything other than their way or the highway. But Nebuchadnezzar, he did learn, like Sister Bonnie said, he did learn the hard way that he was no match for God. He commanded his most mighty men. I'm just going to guess, you know, these men were big, muscle-bound, intimidating men. Men that would stare you down. Men that would break you like a toothpick. He chose the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, the king wanted everything to be in his favor. He didn't want no little, what I call mealy-mouthed men. I mean, these were great soldiers, great mighty men. They bound these three Hebrew boys. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, I burnt some brush this week, and I usually use one match, but I have to admit it took me three matches. These matches was cheap. They stopped burning about as soon as they lit. They just went out before you could even get to the paper. Cheap box of matches I found in the basement. But the reason I mention that, the stuff I put in there would burn. Now, it mentions their coats. Coats will burn. Their hosen, that will burn. Their hats and their other garments. All of these are things that will burn. And they were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. So, not only would the three men burn, but all of their clothing would also burn. And fire consumes things. And as far as I lit, not only did it consume all the brush that I had piled up, but even yesterday when I took the lawnmower, went around it, fired back up again just from the the wind from the deck of the lawnmower blowing grass over on it. It's back burning again last night. And, you know, it was an example of how a fire is able to just consume. It had been sitting there right at 2 days and still caught back on fire just because the wind from the deck of the lawnmower as I went around it to mow the grass caught back on fire. Verse 22, this is a tremendous verse. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know how many men were involved in this. I just know no matter how mighty they were, they were in this king's army, they were no match for this fire. Thank God for the protection of God. Mm-hmm. Thank God for the providence of God, because these three Hebrew boys weren't consumed. These, I don't know how many, it don't give a number. It's kind of like the wise men come see Jesus. Everybody always says three. You show me that. It don't say three. It said they bought three gifts. And there may have been three. I'm not disputing that. But it actually doesn't give the number of the wise men. All of Jerusalem was troubled because of them. It may have been more than three. May not have been. May have only been three. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I know they brought three gifts. But anyway, it says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire, slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now the king got his wish. His commandment was that these three men be thrown bound into the burning fiery furnace, and they fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So everything's complete now. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. Ain't that good? I mean, here he is on the throne. He's king over all the province of Babylon. And he's even called a king of kings with a lowercase k. He's astonished now. And rose up in haste. He's in a hurry now. And spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Now he saw something here. He hadn't mentioned it yet, but it's caused him to be astonished. It's caused him to be in a hurry, and it's caused him to make a statement about throwing three men bound into the midst of the fire. I wonder what that was. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know, I wish a lot of people could see what King Nebuchadnezzar saw right there. He saw how puny he was. He saw how precious these three faithful Hebrew boys were. And he saw that the fire was not able to prevail against them. And he saw that they were not alone in the fire.
Right.
Now, praise God, you know, that takes its toll on anybody. Now, if you look at verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, check this honor out. Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. I bet that got a lot of attention. Now here's all these people. They've done all bowed down to this image. They've done all the dancing at the music. And here's three that won't. They get singled out. These men won't bow. These men won't dance. Oh, King, what are you going to do? He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw them in the fire. And they got thrown in the fire. And really, they kind of stood up against the king because the king was in the wrong. They were obedient to the king, but they couldn't obey his demand because they worshipped the Lord God, and Him only did they worship. And this dilemma here is kind of like today. Kind of like today, there's so-called separation of church and state, and I'll say this about that. One day there's going to be a true separation of church and state because we'll leave it out. They can have it all. They can do whatever they want. I won't be here to speak against it. I won't be here to stand against it. Right now we're cohabiting the same planet together. But I want you to know there is a difference. God makes a difference. He made a difference right here. And He's going to make a difference again when He comes for His church. I don't care how scientific it don't add up. I don't care that it don't deny all of the reason of the world. I just want you to know one day I'm going to be gone.
Amen.
It may be today. It may be further on down the road. Mm-hmm. But even if they could throw me into a burning fiery furnace, you see what happened to these three faithful Hebrew boys? They felt no hurt. They weren't bound when they went into the fire. It burnt their, I guess, ropes they had on them. I don't know what they bound them with. But whatever they bound them with was consumed in the fire. You see, Jesus said, whomsoever the Son sets free, they're free indeed. They were free in this burning fiery furnace. They felt no hurt in this burning fiery furnace. And it looks like there was no other way to convince this king that they knew someone greater than him, and it may be imposed upon us too. I don't know. I know one day I will leave behind a testimony. I've spent 33 years building a testimony, claiming to know none other but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The world don't like that. They don't want that in the schools. They don't want you praying in that name. They don't want that name mentioned. But I'll tell you right now, that's the only one I know that's greater than the world, than all of the powers of this world, than even the God of this world, little g, the prince of the power of the air. I only know one greater than all, and His name is Jesus. And I have truly cast all my care upon Him, because He cares for me. My testimony is not for sale. Michael Combs sings a song called Not For Sale. Mm-hmm. And it's a true song. He gave his testimony at Cave City to granddaughter. She loves him. We went up there and he gave the testimony of that song called Not For Sale. A man offered him a large sum of money to come sing for him. And he said, buddy, I belong to Jesus and I'm not for sale. I think that's one reason he's had so much success is he didn't give in to temptation. And a lot of people have sold themselves out to this world and the riches of this world. And you know what? They actually made a bad deal. Now, I may not ever be rich here. I don't really have no desire to be rich anyway. I just contentment to be okay with me, just learning how to be content
right.
with such things as I have. That's the richest you can get. Amen. The rich, they're not content. They can't sleep. I sleep like a baby. And you know, my wife, she didn't sleep too good last night, and I slept great. Dogs, I don't know how they slept. I don't know, but I slept like a baby. I woke up this morning, 4 o'clock, a little bit tender in my back, but hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's just a light affliction.
Yeah.
It's not something I need to spend a lot of time complaining about. I just need to be reminded I'm not young no more. I'm kind of like Paul said, Paul the aged, there in the book of Philemon, I'm 80 the aged. And you know what? I'm going all the way. I don't know how far we're going to have to go. But if we do have to go through the fire, we can come forth from the fire just like these three Hebrew boys. Verse 27, and the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. I mean, how are you going to argue? Mm-hmm. And you know, I meet a lot of people, and a lot of them have a lot of opinions, and opinions are kind of like armpits. Everybody's got a couple. Most of them stink. I put right guard on mine, make them smell the best I can. But even mine stink. But they will give you their opinion. And I'll tell them, I said, you're entitled to your opinion. Mm-hmm. Just like I'm entitled to my opinion. But one thing that makes a difference in opinions, and that's the Word of God. And you need to remember what saith the Scripture when it comes to knowing truth from fables. Amen. Now, I've not followed cunning, devised fables. I've been following the Word of God for 33 years. I'm on my 18th time of reading the Word of God through. And I found out, but it gives you something to stand on. It's a sure foundation. These boys stood on the Word of God. They're being examined right now. Their gaze is stopped right now. Everybody's walking by and they can't believe it. They've come out of the fire. They don't even smell like fire. Their hair is not singed. You look like I've been in a fire. But hey, if I had, I still have what little hair I got.
Right.
You go wherever you want to. I'm going with God.
Mm-hmm.
But I done read in here this great cloud of witnesses. They've all testified there's none greater, none better. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going with God. Hey, if you do get thrown in the fire, you come out like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And you look like you never even been thrown in the fire, and it killed the man that threw them in. Verse 28. This is the king speaking. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, listen what this king says. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Now this king's getting ready to make a decree here. Now when he makes this decree, it's going to rock a lot of boats. This country we're living in right now, they don't even like the flag no more. They want it changed. They don't like the Constitution no more. They want it changed. They don't like the statutes no more. They want them removed. There's something going on in this country that don't need to be going on. And I think it's Psalms chapter 11, verse 3, and we're going to turn there. I believe this is right. Psalm chapter 11 verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to rewrite the history of this country.
That's right.
Man, I'm kind of glad, Brother Ed, to be 67 years old. I know I'm not as old as you are. But we can both look back to a day when this country walked with God.
Yes, amen.
When this country really did, you know, on our money it says, in God we trust. Well, it really did trust in God back when I was a young man. It had God in its schools.
Mm-hmm.
It had God in its government.
Yeah.
It had God in its churches.
Mm-hmm.
And the people of this country had God in their hearts.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Now on the other side of that coin, I talked about, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? On the other side of that coin, I want to call attention to this verse right here. Psalms chapter 2. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. They're all uniting in this effort.
Yeah.
Against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us. Now we're talking about a union here. A lot of people in agreement. You know, you've got globalists today. You may not understand the efforts that's going on in this country. But it says, let us break their bands asunder. In other words, they're saying, you know that crowd that crucified Jesus, they said, away with Him. Away with Him. We have no king but Caesar. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with His Son Jesus. Yet they've got so much to do with Him, they can't even exist without Him. And verse 4 mentions that. He that sitteth in heavens shall laugh. God laughs because in Him we live and move and have our being. They can't even exist without Him.
Right.
Taking that one step further to try to get this point across. I know we're teaching this morning. I feel like I'm preaching. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, verse 16, by Him were all things created. Take a deep breath. That air was created by Him. Notice the light outside. We don't have to pay a light bill. That light was created by Him. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And this next verse just puts a clinch on it. For He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. They can't exist without Him.
Amen.
He laughs at their puny efforts to do away with Him.
Right.
You know, man made an atom bomb where they split the atom and made a little old firecracker bang, and they thought, boy, they's bad. Listen, God's the one that made the atom.
Yeah.
He's the one that holds it together. Man makes a little trip up to the moon and thinks he's made one giant step. Listen, Jesus stepped down from heaven down to earth. He said, you're below, I'm from above. I'm just telling you just a lot of things about God that men take for granted. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. They don't have a chance, and you know what, of doing anything concerning God. As a matter of fact, they couldn't rock His boat if they wanted to. And this king here, he said he's going to give a decree. Verse 29, therefore I make a decree. Now, God woke up Nebuchadnezzar. And now that he's woke up and realized he's nothing compared to God, he says, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their house shall be made a dunghill, because there is, I love this, no other, and he did put a big G on here, no other God that can deliver after this sort than the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the providence of Babylon. Now they stood their ground. They took the consequences of standing that ground. It got them thrown in the fire. But God was with them in the fire, showing himself that he was indeed God. They end up getting promoted. You know, the king recognized, he saw something he never saw before. But he recognized their God was greater than him. And I like this. He said, I'll make a decree that every people, every nation, every language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. But he put the emphasis where it needed to be. The Bible said, he that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, and the wrath of God abideth upon him.
Right.
Now, I want you to know, if you got God, you got all you need. But if you don't have God, you need to get God.
That's right.
Because this ain't going on forever.
Amen.
In the last verse of St. John chapter 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
Amen.
And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I don't want wrath, I want mercy. Amen. Amen. Now I see three boys standing for God, and I see God standing for three boys. They survived the fire, they got promoted, and I say, amen.
Amen.
Chapter 4 of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. He might have got it the hard way, but he got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, he had to realize that he was no match for the one that inhabits eternity. There's a lot of men down here just like Nebuchadnezzar that think somehow they can sidestep God and do all their enterprise and not be seen. But God sees everything. He that formed the eye, the Bible said, shall he not see? He that formed the ear, shall he not hear? So, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's kind of been enlightened here. Verse 3, how great are his signs! How mighty are his wonders. Boy, he's got nothing but praise for God now. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now, he gave a great proclamation right here. He might not have wanted to give it, but I'll tell you right now, buddy, he was glad to give it. I think there might have been a little fear in the heart of this king when he realized how insignificant he was. Verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. In other words, he said, I've kind of got it made, and I was just taking it easy. He said in verse 5, I saw a dream which made me afraid. You know, God can trouble you.
Yeah.
Oh my. He not only can trouble kings like Nebuchadnezzar, but he can trouble anyone. He said, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. He said, therefore make I a decree to bring in, here he goes again down the wrong road, to make a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. He done been through this once. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dreams before them. Now, he was able to remember the dream this time. The other time, he couldn't even remember the dream. Daniel had to tell him the dream he dreamed, and Daniel had to interpret it. But this time, he remembered it, and he said, I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. So this is the second time that he's had a dream, and even in this time, he didn't learn anything from the last time. He said, but at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Verse 10, thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. Now he's probably thinking this is a good dream. The leaves thereof were fire, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the bowels thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. This reminds me a whole lot of that dream that the baker told Joseph, thinking it was going to be good because the one that held Pharaoh's cup, he got a good interpretation of his dream. 3 days, Pharaoh's going to bring you up out of this prison. And that baker told Joseph about his dream. He said, 3 days, your head's going to be lifted up off of you. But anyway, that's kind of what Nebuchadnezzar, I think, he thinks it's going to be a good dream. And he said in verse 13, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast heart be given unto him, and let 7 times pass over him. Now the king didn't have an idea at all what this dream is, but he was able to remember it. His magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, they weren't able to help him. And I'm thinking, at the last resort, he has sought Daniel, said, you was able to help me once before, maybe you can help me again. And he has told this dream to Daniel. Verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to know, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream, O King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, now thou art Belshazzar, declare the interpretation, that's the name he gave Daniel, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able. You know, he done put stock in Daniel here. He said, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now he's kind of hoping for something good to be said on his behalf. And you know, whatever preacher, if he is a preacher, he won't censure the Word of God. Now, right now, they censure everything that offends them.
Yes.
They'll cut you. I done cut Brother Ed off. Bless his heart. I'm so sorry. But every preacher must preach the preaching that God bids him to preach.
Right.
If he don't have no salt in him, he's not much of a preacher at all.
Right.
I'd rather a man kick me in the mouth.
Right.
And beat me over the head with two before than lie to me.
That's right.
I want to be told as gun barrel straight as I need to hear it.
Right.
Then I need to react in the right way. I need to either repent, right? I need to refrain from continuing what I'm doing. That's what preaching's all about. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now Daniel could have tickled the King's ear right here.
Mm-hmm.
It'd been an opportunity to have got in good with the king. We're going to stop right here. We're not going to go into Daniel's interpretation to the king. We'll continue this in the next message, next Sunday school lesson. But you know, a lot of preachers will forbear to speak against things.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll cost you something to tell the truth today.
Yeah.
And we've done felt the effect of that even here. I've probably done offline, I guess, ain't it, Brother Ed?
No.
Okay.
You're good to go.
I'm going to not call no names. Like I said, you've got to kind of work with what you got to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But if a man is called of God and he is a preacher, he won't sugarcoat the Word of God.
Amen.
He won't sidestep
right.
What thus saith the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, I'll just tell you right now, if a shoe fits, put it on. But don't do the old pitchfork, this is for you back behind me, or act like it pertains to someone else. Daniel's fixing to give the interpretation of this dream to the king. And thank God for men like Daniel in the Bible that won't be like Balaam that sold out. And you know, he was really an unfaithful prophet. God told him not to go, and he saddled up his ass and went. And when he went, there was an angel out there with a sword drawn. If it hadn't been for that donkey, he'd have been a dead prophet. But God did still use Balaam, but not the right way. He used him to show himself as God. We'll stop right here. Anybody got any comment on this lesson? I'll tell you right now, still today, you better adhere to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
This hour we're living in, buddy.
I told you you was live.
Well, I might have a job Monday.